and welcome to Minute 7 of the Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Aaron Neuwirth of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. Welcome back to the show, Aaron.
Hey, back Ben.
Hope you're not too exasperated from traveling through New York and getting to the airport. Whichever airport it is, whether it's JFK or LaGuardia, we'll never really know.
I'll manage. Maybe it'll be some Jersey airport just to get things really really different.
Could be. So Minute 7 begins with Neil running through the airport and ends with Susan shushing Marty. So as we talked about yesterday, Neil gets to the airport and we see that he has 2 minutes to spare to catch his flight. Now, have you ever tried catch a flight, even pre 9/11, 2 minutes before the flight's supposed to take off? I think that's just way too crazy for them to even show that he's attempting this.
Yeah, not from like arriving literally there to getting to the gate. Like, there's certainly been like rush from the security to like the gate to some degree, but even then it's usually like there's still a line that I have to wait in. But yeah, not something so like he's absolutely getting there at the last minute.
Yeah, completely. I mean, that's just that's just nuts. I mean, I know that they're trying to do it for comic reasons, but still, it's just way too much. Mm-hmm. Like I said, even pre 9/11, you could get to the airport maybe a half hour before or whatever it is, but not 2 minutes before your flight's supposed to take off. I think that's just, they went a little too far with that one. It's completely absurd. So we see Neil running down the corridor of the airport. It says that he's in Concourse F. Now, LaGuardia only has 4 terminals and JFK has 8. So my assumption is that it must be that he's in JFK, which he's supposed to be.
But they use LaGuardia's exterior.
Yeah, exactly. And as he's running down this corridor, he's actually very polite. He's saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. He says, excuse me, actually 4 times along the way. And he's, you know, I don't know if someone who's gone through everything that he's gone through up until now would be in such a polite mood trying to catch that airplane. And as he's running down the airport.
I think he's presumably had time to calm himself down, but at the same time, yes, he's the. So I tend to look at Steve Martin as maybe the villain of this movie. So that's kind of the perspective I have on this a lot of times. So it's like he really does go back and forth between like how much of a dick he is at various times,
yeah,
based off how exacerbated he is by the circumstances surrounding him. And at airport at this point, yeah, he's in a rush for sure. And yes, I don't know how likely it would be that he'd be more polite than he was earlier. But that's not what it is.
Yeah, and then we get to hear on the PA system, your attention, please. Mid-Central Flight 909 to Chicago O'Hare has been delayed. All passengers awaiting further information should contact the ticket agent. Now, again, we're talking about the plane is supposed to leave at 6. They're just announcing at 6 that the plane is being delayed. At usually when a plane takes off, at least in my experience, when you're flying somewhere and you're getting on the plane, you're sitting on the plane maybe 10, 15 minutes at least before the plane takes off. So why are they announcing it as, you know, they're announcing it? Let's give him.
And presumably they could see the plane outside the terminal. So they know if it's there or not to begin with, like just the regular passengers, like, and let alone all the numbers in the world that can tell you, like, if this plane is going to be on time, if it's not even there yet, if there's going to be, yeah, you would be waiting to like, I wonder if we're taking off on time. I can't see the plane sitting right out there outside the window right now, but maybe we'll be on time still. I don't know.
Right.
Not until somebody announces it 1 minute before I'm supposed to be taking off.
Or 1 minute after you're supposed to be taking off. Because again, we'll give them the fact that it takes him a minute to get to the terminal. You know,
sure.
So yeah, that's a little crazy. So then at that point, you see the ticket agent changing the sign to say delayed, you know, back in the days when, you know, they didn't have digital and it was all analog. You just had to change the cards, you know, of all the information and stuff like that. And at this point, we then see a house in Chicago, which there's snow falling all around it. It looks like it's getting a little bit heavier, maybe. Don't know. There are 15 windows in this house. That's just unbelievable how big this house is. It says a lot about Neil, and he must be good at his job.
Yeah. I get that sense from just the way he's dressed, where he has, you know, his nice hat, his nice jacket. Like, you know, he gives this very much this 80s businessman vibe. And given the way he talks about what he does to the extent that he does, you get the sense that he's an overworked executive that has means, that's also
right.
Put himself in a certain position in life
exactly.
Where he can afford to be a when he wants to be.
Apparently.
While still having, ideally still having like a sweet center, since he does want to just like get home to his wife and kids.
Yes.
For Christmas. No,
for Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving. I always confuse it with this movie, mainly because I just don't care enough. It's like, yeah, he's home for holidays, whatever. Like, but it's, and since we don't like tech, we don't really see the holiday since it like ends before it. So like, I don't think about it as like which holiday it is. Just like, yeah, it's winter.
Right. Okay, holidays, but people do whatever. Talk about Thanksgiving along the way. You know, in a few weeks we'll get the gobble.
They
gobble.
Do, yeah. It's,
so,
sure.
Yeah. So then we see a woman sitting at a table with three kids. And they're eating spaghetti and meatballs. That's what it looks like, at least. And then the young girl says, "When are grandma and grandpa going to come?" So I find that really funny. You know, that you know, she refers to both sides as grandma and grandpa, because usually there's some sort of differentiation. You know, even if you're using the same terminology, you would say, "Okay, when is Grandpa Aaron and Grandpa Rob coming?" You know, things like that. It wouldn't be. Yeah. You know, when are grandma and grandpa. And the response is, "They'll be here tomorrow, honey." And then she goes, "Mom, yeah. Do you think Grandpa Walt is going to give me a noogie?" At this point, she differentiates. Who is Grandpa? Which Grandpa? It's Grandpa Walt. He's going to give me a noogie. Do you know what a noogie is?
I know what a noogie is, yes.
You want to explain to people what a noogie is? That is
Sure, that is taking basically the knuckles of your hand and violently rubbing it on
somebody. As you keep them in a headlock and stuff like that.
Yeah, you generally hold them in place so they can't immediately escape you doing this.
It's also known as a Dutch rub, which that version is meant to cause people pain and humiliation, as opposed to the noogie is just meant more or less for fun, that type of thing. I actually found it very interesting. This is actually, it comes from a Yiddish or Hebrew word. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Noogie. Yeah.
The Yiddish word is nudzin, which means to badger. And the Hebrew word is nugget, which means to afflict. So I found that interesting that it comes from that. And then her response to her is, "Of course, he's going to give you a noogie. He loves to give you noogies." And then she says, "That's how he tells you how much he loves you." So then you have the little boy who's played by Matthew Lawrence. The girl is played by Olivia Burnett, who was 10 when they made this movie. She only has 6 movie credits, and she was actually on 3 episodes of Quantum Leap. And she actually played Sam's sister in one of them. And the other two, they were just random characters in other episodes that she was in. So the boy is Matthew Lawrence, who was 7 when they filmed this movie. He's a little more popular. He has 36 TV credits, 28 movie credits. He was also in Mrs. Doubtfire. He was in Boy Meets World for 69 episodes. And he was also in the TV show Give Me a Break with Nell Carter, where he played the little kid.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that I was wondering about is why are they eating dinner at this point? You know, if Neil is at the airport and it's 6 o'clock, that means it's 5 o'clock in Chicago. Now, they get it right that it's dark in Chicago, but most people don't sit down on a regular night and eat dinner at 5 o'clock, at least not in my experience. You know,
I know people all over the place that have dinners different times. 5 o'clock for, especially for children, not the latest time to have, or not the earliest time to have dinner.
Okay.
Not from my experience.
We usually give my kids, you know, dinner at 6:30 or something like that. So that's why to me it sounded a little strange, but okay. You know, different people do different things, as you said. So I guess that makes sense. So then the little boy who's known as Neil Jr. says, "Why doesn't he give me noogies?" And his mother's response is, "Because you get Indian burns." And he says, but I prefer noogies. Now, do you know what an Indenburn is?
Yeah, that's where one person takes their hands and puts it on somebody else's arm and then like twists their hands back and forth to basically create a burning sensation. I'm curious if we still call it Indian burns today, or there's probably a different word at this point.
It probably is. Do you know the origin of an Indian burn?
I don't know. Did Sacagawea go to Lewis and Clark one day and say, check this out?
That would actually be really interesting if that's what they
was a part of the first Thanksgiving. Did Pocahontas present this?
That's actually very interesting. So this is not politically correct, but the etymology of the term Indian burn is because your skin becomes very red. So people then refer to it as, a red-skinned Native American. And another possibility of an explanation of it is it's actually a torture method that the Native Americans used to use. But we'll never know which it really is. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conversation that they're having here about, what's going to be tomorrow when Grandpa and Grandpa get here. Give me a noogie. Give me an Indian burn or whatever you want to give me along the way. So at that point, the phone rings. And the first thing that the woman says to her daughter is, keep an eye on your brother. And then she answers the phone and says, hello. And then as most kids, her daughter gets a little annoying by saying, who is it? And then the mother says, where are you? And she goes, who is it? And then she shushes her and tells her, shh, be quiet. Stop bothering me. I'm on the phone. Now, do you recognize the woman who plays Neil's wife? Have you seen her in anything else before?
I was trying to place it too without looking it up.
So her name is Layla Robbins. She was born in 1959, which means that she was 38 when this movie was made. Steve Martin is actually 14 years older than she is, because he was 52 when this movie was made. She has...
God, Steve Martin's always been old.
Apparently.
he's like always been old, Steve.
Apparently. But he's still great. So,
He is still great, yeah. It's just impressive how long he's held on to, like, his kind of state of being while, he doesn't seem a certain way. Okay. Anyway, go on.
She has 33 movie credits and 47 TV credits. She was in An Innocent Man with Tom Selleck. She was in True Crime with Clint Eastwood. And she was in the movie Eye in the Sky with Helen Mirren. And
I know that movie. Yeah. You can place her.
And Planes, Trains, Automobiles was actually her second credit that she ever got. So, I wonder why they decided to give her this part, because the part is actually in the full script. It's expanded much more than what we get to see in this movie. So you'd think that they would have given this. I mean, you don't know yet. You're making faces that you're not sure. No one else can see that but me. There's a lot more of this character in the full script than we'll see in here. So, like I say every day, I'm going to say a little bit about the differences in the script, because, it's a very long original script that was actually supposedly completely filmed, but they cut it down. So one of the things that they talk about here is that Neil is waiting in line at the ticket counter. And who's keeping him from getting ahead in line? Dell, who's standing there at the line talking to the agent about whether he wants a seat in smoking or non-smoking. And Neil goes on, and Dell goes on about a whole diatribe about, well, he's trying to quit smoking, so maybe he shouldn't be in the smoking section, or maybe they should give him the final row of the non-smoking section, so if he wants to smoke, he can get up and change seats with somebody, and things like that. And it goes on a little too much. I'm not gonna read everything that he says in the script with this whole thing, but it really does go along.
I can see Candy giving this spiel. Yeah. Nigga's like, what if I want to do this, but I don't want to do this, but I
And then by the time that Neil gets to the counter, the ticket agent decides that she needs to go on a break and, you know, closes them down her counter, which gets him a little frustrated. At this point, we get to see Neil's watch, which says it's 5:49, according to the script, which makes a little more sense than what they did in the movie. And then he gets to the security checkpoint. And once again, who's keeping everyone in line? Dell. And he's causing a delay. He keeps beeping every time he goes through the metal detector, and they can't figure out why. And they wand him all over the place, and they finally wand his foot, and it starts going crazy. And it says, the guard lifts Dell's pant leg to reveal, stuck in the back of his cushioned sole loafer, a shoehorn. And he pulls it out. And he shows the shoehorn to Dell, and Dell says, son of a gun, I wonder why my damn foot hurt all day. So again, I'm glad they cut this out.
Like, these aren't bad bits, but like, I get why you cut it out. But like, I get it. I can see Hughes writing this for Candy. I can see him playing this off completely. Well.
I would love to see some of this footage. You know, it doesn't look like we'll ever get to see that, but I just found it really funny. I mean, come on, if you had a shoehorn in your shoe, you would notice.
Yeah. That's why Candy will be. That's why Candy's great, because he'd be able to sell.
That's definitely true. That's true. And then Neil puts his briefcase through the X-ray machine, and you see that it doesn't close. And when it comes out the other end, all of his papers are all screwing around, and he needs to like repack everything into his smashed briefcase, which he puts under his arm as he runs towards the gate. And at this point in the original script, they have a conversation between Dell and Neil, which only comes a little later in the final cut. So we'll talk about that when we get to that tomorrow or the day and the day after. And then we see that Dell once again causes even more problems at the ticket counter right before the actual where they're trying to get their seats on the plane. I understand why they keep cutting these out, because it's just too much. You don't want – I think part of this with this movie is they're trying to keep us, they want us to like the character of Dell. And if they were to have all of these things in the movie, we would get very tired of him very quickly. You know, again, we're 7 minutes into the movie. To have in 7 minutes within the movie have Dell completely drive us nuts is just too much.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's part of the film's charm is the fact that Dell, despite annoying Martin so much, is the fact that he's an endearing character. So yeah, if you have too many bits right here, it's going to throw off that balance pretty quickly.
Completely.
Because he's just an obstacle.
Right. And the conversation in the with the family at the end is also very different. They don't have the whole thing with Noogies and Indian Burns and things like that. They're just, they have a short little conversation. They actually name all the kids. The little kid is named Seth. And then you have Neil Jr. and Marty. And those are the names of those children. You have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No.
All right, great. So today we're going to get an off-the-beaten-track story from Aaron. Why don't you tell us some adventure or misadventure that you might have had at some point over your life?
I'm pretty fortunate where the times I've needed to like travel somewhere tend to go pretty well. That doesn't mean like the flights are always amazing, but in terms of like me getting to them, never really struggled too much. I will say, actually, in relation to Rob, I was flying back from Israel back in 2008. And so this is more just on the flight antics. I had a middle seat, great, but also I had my in-flight movie choice, and for whatever reason, I chose the Green Mile.
Well, when you're on a 10-hour flight, a 3-hour movie is not that bad.
It's not that bad, but it's also like the Green Mile is a like I've never seen it in full before at that point. So I'm like, cool, I'm gonna watch the Green Mile for the first time. But watching the Green Mile is like, it's such an exhausting movie to watch on an airplane because it's so like, you know, it's not like good things are happening in the movie. It's so such a, and I'm already like in this weird like tired zone because I'm flying. So it's like, why did I choose the Green Mile? Like, it's such a depressing story to watch, and I'm like drained just from being on an airplane to begin with. So it's like I have like, so anytime I see the green, like it's not one that I revisit very often because my head just doesn't like compute this movie the way it should. But that's like my impression of flying back home from Israel is, yeah, that's when I watched The Green Mile for 3 hours. And it was just this weird, like zombie position I felt myself in, as far as I'm in a middle seat watching this 3 hour depressing prison drama.
That's a great story.
That's one flight takeaway.
That's a great story. Thank you, Aaron. Why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Oh, okay. For some reason I heard, or do you think people are having enough of you? I'm like, what?
Well, hopefully not, because you have another 3 days of them to listen to. So,
which people should be looking forward to. We have exciting stuff ahead.
Of course.
But for now, people can find everything I do over at thecodeofzeke.com. That's my personal blog. I also write for Why Is the Blue for Blu-ray and Criterion reviews. I cover movie reviews at We Live Entertainment. I'm on Twitter at Aaron's PS4. And I host my podcast with my friend Abe called Out Now with Aaron Abe. We talk about weekly movie releases.
All right, excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate and review and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. To find me, all you do is just do a quick search, Movie Rob Minute, and you can find it on Facebook, Twitter, you can find my website, or you can send me an email at movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Aaron, you want to come back in tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, until tomorrow, you're fine.